If you've been following the NBA offseason, it's become pretty apparent that this has been one of the most hectic free agencies in arguably the last decade. NBA franchises in particular are ran like any successful multi-billion dollar business. That's right, billion. See, according to Forbes in 2018, the average NBA franchise is worth $1.65 billion. Franchises are run like a business where the athletes are the performers slash commodities that fans like you and me endear and buy into. Yet a double standard appears to exist in the sense that players are expected to be loyal to their franchises, yet the franchise can cold-heartedly at times trade their loyal players in a deal to better advance the business. Critics cry about loyalty, yet loyalty towards those who may or may not be loyal to you. However, when an athlete decides that they want to leave of their own accord for whatever reason, media tends to deem them disloyal, a ring chaser, or whatever the narrative is to get views. Sort of a catch-22 for the player. Leave willingly and be labeled a traitor, or be labeled loyal while risk being traded. Status aside, athletes deal with many of the pressing questions that you and I deal with respect to our workplaces. Should I stay put? Is the situation the best fit for me? Are my skills and talents being fully utilized? Do I feel fulfilled? Is the environment healthy and conducive to my growth? Is the organization helping me get towards my end goal? Or perhaps is it time to leave? Would leaving be a better situation for me and my family, financially, emotionally? When's the right time to leave? How do I know when to hold or when to fold? And today, we talk about the topic of workplace migration. Let's be real. At times, growing up can be a struggle. You go to school, you get an education, then you get the job. But what comes next? See, with the majority of your life ahead of you, how do we navigate this thing called adulting? I think I might have skipped that class in college, or perhaps we were never fully prepared for it to begin with. Allow me to introduce myself. I'm your host, Jordan Lim. You can find me on Instagram at jordan.declassified. I'm a 20-something-year-old electrical engineer with a passion for helping people. I'm not a self-proclaimed expert, and I don't have all the answers. I'm just an average guy in search for them. Paraphrasing a quote by multi-billionaire mogul Warren Buffett, it's good to learn from mistakes, but no one said they had to be your own. Now I invite you on the journey with me, and welcome to my podcast, Adulting, Figuring It Out with Jordan Lim. Okay, so last week was more an introduction, talking about who I am, what the hopes for the podcast are, and really just expanding on the concept of freedom. See, in the English language, there's many types of quote-unquote umbrella words in which, depending on how they're used, can hold different meanings. So last week, I talked about freedom. How in today's age, there seems to be a heavy emphasis on social media for financial freedom, yet freedom is much more than just finances. See, you have the external, which could be finance, financial freedom, religious freedom, political freedom, you name it. But you also have internal freedom, which could be freedom from grudges, personal resentment, things inside of you that are setting you back. And we dive deeper into the topic. And you have... Okay, so last week was more an introduction. It was episode one, talking about who I am, what the hopes for the podcast are, and really just expanding on the concept of freedom in honor of 4th of July. See, in the English language, there's many types of quote-unquote umbrella words in which, depending on how they're used, can hold different meanings. So last week, I talked about the concept of freedom, how in today's age, there seems to be a heavy emphasis on social media for financial freedom, which isn't bad. But freedom is just more than finances, you know? You see, you have external freedom, which can be financial freedom, religious freedom, political freedom, etc. Anything dealing with the external. And then you could have internal freedom, which could be burdens, personal resentment, grudges, holding you back or bogging you down and getting freedom from that. We dived deeper into the topic last week, so if you haven't given it a listen, feel free to check it out. This week, I'm talking about knowing when it's time to fold, meaning leave a job, or when it's time to hold, meaning stay where you're at. See, the reason this topic came about is because this last Friday, I officially left my job. Well, previous job, I suppose. The timing's weird. I'm adjusting. My new job, though, starts on the day that this podcast drops, Monday. However, the job I just left was pretty special to me, and it was special for a certain reason. It was special because it was my first, quote-unquote, real job out of college. Now, to give a little context about me and my work experience, I'm definitely no stranger to finding jobs and leaving them when the time was right. See, as a kid growing up, I'd spend my summers in Las Vegas helping my grandma manage her clothing store for nurses. When I turned 18, I got my first official job as a cook for Chick-fil-A. And yes, it was my pleasure. So I've done food. I've also done retail at Abercrombie & Fitch. I don't know if they're still in business. They seem to be doing poorly. I hope they are. But I've also done personal services, such as being a math tutor, both volunteer and paid, tutoring students from all levels, from middle school to college. I've served as a resident advisor for a couple of years, aiding students from freshmen to transfer students to seniors, helping them navigate college and getting connected to the right resources to help them get to where they want to be. And my most recent work experience was as an intern at an automation company, which led to an offer as I graduated to be a control system / project engineer in the automation space. And now I'm about to start or currently starting a job as an associate industrial and controls electrical engineer as I pursue a professional engineering license for the state of California. So that's a little brief overview of my work experience so you could get a feel that I've done just about every industry. However, each job I've had, I've left for various reasons. And we could talk about it more in a bit. But before we deep dive, I want to list the top 10 good reasons to fold on the job, according to an article written by Allison Doyle on the balancedcareers.com blog site. So let's go through them. Number one, you found a new job. This in part was the reason I left my previous job, but there's more that factored into me wanting to leave in the first place, which we will touch on later. Number two, you hate your job. Now, I've been fortunate. I've never had a job that I absolutely despised, but if you perhaps have a job that you absolutely hate, I advise caution to making an impulsive decision and quitting on the spot. So you take the time, plan it out strategically, give at least 2 weeks' notice to your manager. See, in my case, I gave 1 month's notice because I was working on a project and wanted to provide ample time to wrap it up, so the company's not completely screwed once I left. See, a little piece of advice that my dad gave me was to never burn bridges. The person, boss, or company you hate today may turn out to be a valuable resource for you sometime tomorrow. So don't burn bridges as much as you may be inclined to, as much as you think it may feel good to do it, stick it to the man. Don't burn bridges. Connections are good to have. Always end on good terms. Number three, illness. This one should go without much explaining. If you or your family are chronically ill or you need to take care of someone, do what you gotta do. Family is important. Number four, a difficult work environment. In my experience, and in my experience talking with friends and colleagues, never once have I heard of a perfect workplace. Imperfect people make imperfect companies. So more likely than not, you'll always be able to pinpoint something you don't like about your job or work environment. However, there is a line to be drawn between perhaps being whiny or complaining versus a legitimate toxic work environment. Now let's define toxic. See, according to topresume.com, a toxic work environment is a workplace or job in which the work, atmosphere, people, or any combination of the above cause some serious disruptions in your life. The article goes on to list some symptoms of a toxic workplace such as high turnover, narcissistic leadership, excessive gossip and cliques, lack of communication, or even negative communication from management, along with many other symptoms that could be a sign your work environment isn't the healthiest. The article goes on to talk about how to handle those types of symptoms, so if you're currently going through that or know someone who is, feel free to link them to that article. Number five, schedules and hours. If your work hours are hindering your life or health because of a conflicting schedule, that's a totally valid reason to leave a job. Now, to expand on that point, I'll give a snapshot into probably the worst 2 month stretch scheduling wise on my work experience. There was a period in, I believe it was 2017, where I held 3 jobs. Why 3 jobs? Looking back, I really don't know. I think I just hated myself or something like that. Sometimes I find myself doing things to make my life a lot harder than it needs to be. Do you relate? Okay, so at the time I was working as a chef for Chick-fil-A, a retail associate for Abercrombie & Fitch, and a resident advisor for Cal State Fullerton. Now at Chick-fil-A, they like scheduling me during the mornings, so whenever you see a food place and the hours in which they open, at least for fast food, the employees are typically there an hour before. So my store opened at 6:30 a.m. to the public, so that means I was scheduled to come in at 5:30 a.m. Doable, for sure, for some, not me. But yeah, I'd go to work at Chick-fil-A in the mornings, go to school / do engineering homework in the afternoons, and then I go to Abercrombie & Fitch at nights. And my shifts at Abercrombie & Fitch were typically scheduled from 8 p.m. to 1 a.m. Because they liked me after work because it closed at 11 to, like, since I was taller compared to the other employees, to climb up on ladders and rearrange all the shelves and everything. Very productive stuff. But on nights I wasn't scheduled, I'd do nightly patrols as a resident advisor, which would be a basically all-nighter. And then repeat. That was a schedule, working from 5:30 a.m. to about 2 p.m., go to class, do homework, have quick dinner, then 8 p.m. to 1 a.m., go to Abercrombie and Fitch, and if I didn't have that, then I'd be a resident advisor and do nightly patrols at night and pull an all-nighter. And then I did that for about 2 months, and it just took a toll on my health. My health was clearly deteriorating. My mood was always half asleep or fully irritated. And then my grades were starting to drop too. I wasn't doing too hot on tests because I wasn't able to dedicate the time necessary to study properly. So yeah, I physically and emotionally couldn't keep up that routine. So if your schedule and hours are like that or similar, then definitely drop one or two of those jobs and or find a new one that better fits your schedule. I define the good life as health, wealth, love, and happiness to just cast four generic buckets of life. Now in that situation, my health was declining, my wealth was minimal because it was minimum wage, I had no time for love, I clearly hated myself because I was working three jobs at the worst hours of the whole day, and I was so far from being happy. So it was an easy decision leaving those jobs, to say the least. Number six, going back to school. If you're in school part-time or full-time, it should lead to consideration how much you work. Going to school is a job in itself in college. See, the important thing is understanding what your priorities are. So if school is your number one priority, then let that be the guide for the type of jobs you look for. Look for jobs that fit your schedule or help you towards that career that you're working and studying for. Number seven, career change. Jumping ship from one company to another in the same industry is one thing, but jumping ship from one industry to an entirely different industry is another. Nonetheless, changing your career field for whatever reason, maybe you're bored with the work, maybe you've been doing it too long, that's a valid reason, just wanting a change of pace. Number eight, relocation. Obviously, if you move and are physically unable to arrive to work, then it's totally valid to quit a job. Number nine, you get a permanent position. Now this one only really is pertinent to the part-timers or temp workers. Leaving because you found a job that will give you security and full-time hours, that's a valid reason. Number 10, what your gut tells you. Do I need to say more? So yeah, that was the article on thebalancedcareers.com. You could look it up. I just typed in reasons to quit a job. Read it for yourself. There's some more added value there and they can elaborate more. So we're going to take a little pause before diving back into the topic of knowing when to fold, knowing when to hold, because we're entering a new segment called
Real World Mathematics.
When am I going to use this? All right, so this is a segment of the show where I break down a math or physics principle and make it applicable to real life. So today we're going to talk about the concept of displacement. And displacement is really just a change in position compared to your original starting point. It involves vectors, which this may sound familiar, or maybe you haven't heard of vectors before. What a vector is, it's a line that has both a magnitude and direction. That's important. It has to have both. Magnitude is just size, so it's like it could be a distance. So take, for example, a person walks 10 miles. Now, if the sentence just ended there, that would be a distance, 10 miles. However, if the sentence was a person walks 10 miles east, well, that's a vector, because not only does it have a magnitude, which is the 10 miles, it also has a direction, which was east. So now let's go back to that concept of displacement. So displacement is that actual change in position. So for example, if a person has a starting point and walks 10 miles east and then 10 miles back west to the original starting point, back to where they started, what's the displacement? The displacement is zero. But check this out, that person traveled 20 miles total, and I don't know about you, but that sounds very tiring to me. It's almost like, what, two-thirds a marathon? More than two-thirds? Quick maths. But the distance traveled is 20 miles, but the displacement is zero. So at the end of the day, that person put in a lot of work, but really didn't get anywhere, because they're back to where they started. So when I was brushing up on my physics, I had a sort of life epiphany. I don't know if you can relate, but at times in the past, I find myself questioning why I've done or why I'm doing all this work. Yeah, I feel like I'm not getting any closer to any of my goals. So on Khan Academy, which if you're unfamiliar, is a great free resource you can use to brush up on a plethora of educational topics. I think it's mainly used by high schoolers, but there's no shame in ever brushing up on old knowledge or learning new knowledge, depending on who you are. But back to my point, I realized I could find myself doing a lot of work, yet can still feel also that I'm not getting anywhere or progressing anywhere towards my goals. Because that principle of displacement holds true. Just as a vector needs magnitude and direction, I think we do too. Work is important, but what are we working towards? What's our direction? Where do we want to go? And now we come back to the reasoning that sort of led me to start looking and eventually accepting an offer to work for another company. How long should I stay at a job? Well, timeline-wise, and this was taken from a parting conversation with the owner of my previous company, and he was gracious. He told me that in your career, after college, whether you love or hate your job, you want to stay at least 1 to 2 years to show employers that you can be loyal and hold a job down. And then after that, the next company that you go to, you want to stay a minimum of at least 5 years to show that you can be loyal for an extended period of time. And then after that, you can choose to hop to another company and then stay 30 years where you'll eventually retire. So yeah, that was advice given to me by a business owner in the automation distribution space with a successful multi-million dollar business, which has been running for over 25 years. And if you know anything about businesses, most of them fail within the first 5. So if a business has lasted over 5 years, that should give some credibility to the way it's been ran. But yeah, he told me a habit of jumping ship too often, too soon, in the long run, it could hurt you. Yeah, but the timeline he gave me also is pertinent if you're only staying in one industry. So if you decide to offer a complete career change or shift, then I don't know, the rules change also. But yeah, that was advice he gave me. Take it for what it's worth. I know that times are changing. People are staying less, mobility is a lot more rampant. So yeah, I'm just the messenger. But going back to my previous workplace, for me, I interned during my time in college, and I was at this company for a little over a year full time. So I was there for about 2 years total. Coming out of college though, I had several offers on the table. See, on one end, I had a significant offer, in my eyes at least, from Pepsi. It would require me to relocate to Salt Lake City for a couple years and then potentially could relocate elsewhere to one of their other branches or locations. And the other offer was for the company I just left this past week, an established company in the automation distribution space, trying to branch out and create a new division in a manufacturing division of automation. The salary, benefits, and company were all significantly smaller than that of my offer from Pepsi, yet nonetheless, I chose them, leading most of my friends and family to raise their eyebrows, and they questioned me. Why? See, in my head, I viewed the company as a startup. Although established, the company was trying to branch off into unknown territory, and having the self-starter inclinations that I have, I was attracted to the idea of coming on board a team and helping build something from the ground up. That held true during my time in college when I helped found a fraternity, building from the ground up, trying to establish a reputation, network with the university officials, whereas it would have been much easier joining another fraternity. And it was that same logic that led me to accept the offer that I did coming out of college. I had a plan. Help the company grow, and since I got in early, if it takes off, then perhaps there'd be a significantly better position waiting for me at the end of the tunnel. And with any organization or person trying to build something from the ground up, two things are guaranteed to happen. One, there's going to be a learning curve, and two, there's going to be growing pains. I don't think it's healthy to bash a past employer because I simply don't find that productive. But during my time throughout the year, some staunch disagreements and qualms developed within me about whether or not I should stay with the company. I won't divulge into specific details, but I had some disagreements. An important thing to note is, complaining is one of the easiest things to do, for anyone. Anyone can complain or find something they're not happy about, but finding a solution to address the complaint? Well, that's not as easy. But it's also a lot more valuable and respectable skill set for yourself and for your current or future employers to look at. Say for example, you're uncomfortable standing in the scorching sun during a summer day. What are you gonna do? Are you just gonna complain to the people sweating alongside you? Man, it's so hot. Can you believe this weather? Or are you actually going to move and go find some shade or some cool water to cool off with? See, complaints are natural, disagreements are natural. The question is, what do you do about it? And I sort of applied the same philosophy with me in my previous work. The minute I started entertaining the thought of leaving the company, I stopped myself and brought out a notepad. Now, this may or may not work for you, what I did, but if it does, cool. And if not, then that sucks. But yeah, use it if you find it helpful. But what I did is I took out a notepad, taking that from How I Met Your Mother, the popular sitcom. I wrote down all the concerns I had about the company that made me disgruntled in a sense. And after looking at my concerns and qualms, I then started brainstorming possible solutions. Now, I'll give a few things as examples which may or may not have pertained to my situation, but are pretty common for most people. And I'll respond with how I would have gone about addressing those issues. See, if I was an employee disgruntled about salary, then what I would have done is I would have created a spreadsheet detailing the profits that I was able to directly help the company gain to show how I was able to add value to them compared to the normal. I'd bring out my job description, talk about my requirements, how I've gone above and beyond. I'd show them profit margins, the value I add, the value I contribute and can continually add, which is way more than whatever I initially signed up for. So that's how I'd go about it. I'd strategically show them, here's what I've been doing. Here's what you've asked of me. I've done more than that. So therefore, can we negotiate a higher salary type of thing? If communication or lack thereof was an issue, I'd list specifically what caused the problems or misunderstanding for me. I'd cite a specific instance, never attacking the individual, but only describing the event. I'd give the example, I'd explain what happened, I'd explain to my boss what I thought the result of it was, how that impacted the culture or the environment of the workplace. And then after that, I would talk about if it were to happen again or a situation like that arise, how it could have better been handled. If I was disgruntled about job description changing, then I'd ask for a clearly defined role to perhaps get another paper or a refresh paper of what my responsibilities are so I know that the expectations are on the same page. The point I'm trying to make though is that whenever there's something that I find as a problem, I do my best to also pair it with a solution before giving up or folding my hand and just cutting my losses. And that right there is something I think we can all apply towards life in general. If there's something that we don't like or makes us disgruntled, why don't we try to find a solution first before just giving up on the whole thing? See, if one light bulb in your house was broken or it went out, what are you going to do? Are you going to just fix and replace that one light bulb? Or are you going to sell the whole damn house? Now, let's say you fix that light bulb, but then another maintenance issue comes up and you fix that. And then another comes up, and then you fix that, and then another comes up, and then you fix that, and then another comes up, and then you fix, and it goes on and on and on. Then eventually you get to a point where maybe it's honestly better to sell the house and find somewhere else because it's more trouble than it's worth. And so I did that, and that's what led me to leaving my first big boy job out of college. I had several distinct qualms. I did my best over the last couple of months to be very upfront and try to work towards solutions. But when met with unresponsive behavior, which is totally the prerogative of management, and no hard feelings, and after realizing that perhaps my initial plan of how things would play out was my plan alone and not that of the owner or the company, then I realized it was no longer the direction that I wanted to go. Taking that concept of displacement again, no longer was the direction I was heading taking me towards the goal I actually wanted to get towards. Goals change. That's a natural thing. But when goals change, so must the direction. So in my case, I folded. Now, when do you hold? When do you keep your job? When do you stay? Now, keep in mind, I understand sometimes life happens. You have debt, you have student loans, car loans, house loans, family to take care of. You got bills. You do what you got to do to be responsible. But if free of those burdens, there's a lot more freedom of choice that becomes available to you when it comes to searching for another job freely. First off, I never recommend quitting a job unless you have another one lined up, but to each their own. I don't know your situation and you gotta determine what's best for you. However, when it comes to deciding whether to hold a job, I think it really boils down to two simple questions. one, what's your goal? Like, what's your career goal? What are you trying to do? Where are you trying to go? And then the second question is your current job helping you get there towards your goal? And that's it. I think those are the two prominent questions that can help you decide whether you should stay or whether you should go. Are you developing or honing unique skills that would be applicable or make you stand out to help you get to where you want to be? See, it all goes back to that concept of displacement. Remember, displacement is the net difference from your starting point. Also remember, vectors hold magnitude and direction. So the ultimate question is, where do you want to go? If you know where you want to go, you can start to get an idea of what direction you need to travel to really move the ball forward in helping you get there. The ultimate question is, where do you want to go? See, if you know where you want to go, you can start to get an idea of what direction you need to travel to really move the ball forward in helping you get there. There's a quote I heard once, I think it was from Church. It was, direction, not intention, determines destination. And to give an example of that, if you know where you want to go, so for example, say you want to go to a location. Take Disneyland, for example, here in Southern California. If you want to go to Disneyland, well, put in your GPS and you'll get the roadmap, you get all the guides and Siri talking to you how to get there. You know the way, you know the path, the golden path, the yellow brick road. But yeah, if let's say you just want to drive around, hoping you get to Disneyland, just making lefts or rights, oh, this freeway looks nice. Well, odds are you may never get there. You need direction, you gotta know where you want to go. If you can define what you want, it's easier to make an intentional plan or pathway to help you get there. See, if you want to run a marathon within a certain time frame, well then train like a marathoner and not like a sprinter. If you want a healthier relationship with someone, well then identify the unhealthy parts, communicate, and work at fixing them together. If you want a certain career achievement, well look at where you're currently at and ask yourself, is where I'm at helping me get to where I want to be? Whatever you rationalize, you rationalize. I'm not here to tell anyone they're right or wrong. I'm only here to give some food for thought, because one of my biggest fears is to do an insane amount of work, only to realize I haven't gotten any further than where I started. Now, what's my goal? Well, my goal is to become a professional engineer. That means two extensive tests and several years apprenticing underneath a licensed professional engineer. I chose my first job over Pepsi because, worst case, it gave me experience underneath an engineer and helped me develop a unique skill set not typically taught in the engineering or collegiate courses. So I was still in the ballpark of where I wanted to go, and that's sort of ways to know when to hold and when to fold. So yeah, as far as knowing when to hold and knowing when to fold, I think it really just comes down to knowing where you want to go. Because if you know where you want to go, you can use that as the filter or the lens in which you make decisions. Know who you want to be, know where you want to go. And it's this whole concept of reverse engineering, working backwards. Okay, so call to action. If you made it to the end, here's a little activity for you. Do it of your own accord. It's not school. No one's grading you. No one's forcing you to do anything. But do a little reverse engineering for yourself. If you can, take out a piece of paper or take out your phone or your app and define what you want. Just take one thing and define it. This could be a career goal, a financial goal, a personal goal, fitness goal, whatever. It's broad. You can do this activity as many times as you want. And then once you've done that, take a look at the thing you defined and then work backwards. Brainstorm ways that can help you get there. And then once you've done that, congratulations. Now you have a little bit of direction. You've created a vector, so to speak. You had an idea, you defined a direction, and now you know the work that needs to happen for you to get there. And hopefully with that knowledge, displacement in your life won't stay at a zero also. Use your goals and values as the filter for which how you make decisions. And that should help with knowing when to fold and knowing when to hold. Hey everyone, thanks for listening. I hope you're able to get something out of today's episode, something that adds value to your life. If you got something out of today or know someone who may get something out of this, feel free to share this podcast. There's room for everyone on the journey. You'd have my sincerest thanks for doing it, to be honest. Now, with respect to today's episode, let's keep the conversation going. If there was something that stood out to you, something you staunchly disagreed with, well, let me know. I'm always willing to learn and have a conversation. So if you'd like to get in contact, feel free to message me on Instagram at jordan.declassified. This has been another episode of Adulting, Figuring It Out with Jordan Lim. Episodes drop weekly on Mondays. Tune in next week. Till then, cheers.